Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Feel attacked. Everybody,
I mean, the music hurts. Fits. The music fits you.
We're going to be all right, man. We're going to be all right.
You know what? I'll appreciate your optimism tomorrow and Thursday. Today we're hurting you. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio. Howard Eskin is going to join us coming up at 11:30. I got a theory. It just hit me as we were talking in our last segment. I got a theory. I haven't told you this. I haven't told Kyle this. A theory on the Nick Nurse timeout debacle at the end. Hit that to you in a couple minutes here. Your phone calls, 215-592-9494. All right, let's hear after the game, Joel Embiid in the locker room. Some optimism here, some emotion here. Here's Joel after the game.
How do you try to bounce back as you guys head home and try to turn this thing around?
We're good. We're going to win this series. We're going to win this. We know what we got to fix. We did a better job today, so we're going to fix it. But with a better team.
That's what I'm talking about. Talk your talk. Hopefully these two days are going to be a huge difference.
So I like the optimism from him. I think there's something to him expressing that to his team. Like, we got this. We're going to be okay. All right. I think he needs to. Now, if you just heard that and you didn't watch it last night, you can't tell what he looks like as he says it.
No, I get it.
He's expressing optimism, but if you watch the video or you're watching on TNT after the game last night, his head is down. I mean, literally, his head is down like a boxer who just lost a fight. His head is like down.
Because his eyes messed up,
well,
man.
Well, okay, that's part of it. But I thought Charles Barkley, interesting comments afterwards on TNT about Joel's body language. It sounds good, but if you see him, his head is down. Here's Barkley on all that.
What I'd like to see from Joel, he got to get his head up. Because he's the leader of the team. He's the best player. He's one of the best players in the world. If your best player got his head down like that, he can say it's unacceptable. We just got to come out and win game three. We got to take it one game at a time. As the leader of the team, he cannot have his head down. He's got to say, guys, we're fine. They did what they're supposed to do. We got to go home and win game three and four.
I agree with Barkley there. I mean, what is he hiding his eye for from us?
Because it's all over the place.
Who cares?
He does.
Like, wait, but he's out there on the court with the camera. Well, he's out there in the court for 3 hours with the camera on. We all see his eye. And in the locker room, we're going to hide his eye?
Because he was trying to hide his eye out there on the court.
But he can't. Like, Joe. I don't get the locker room hide the eye thing.
Because it's all over the place. Like, I don't know what that's called. I mean, even though I did play a doctor on TV, I don't know what that's called.
It's like Rocky.
Well, it just looks like, you know, have you ever seen Young Frankenstein?
Yes.
When the dude, I was able to, like, see, not trying to be funny.
I know.
Why are you over there laughing?
Well, because I didn't have Young Frankenstein on the bingo card for 11:03. I didn't have it. It's a good reference.
But something is wrong with his eye. That's why I had on glasses the other day, and everybody was why? Yeah.
But I'm just saying, like, or is he embarrassed of his eye?
Yes. If your eye was doing that, you would be embarrassed too.
But I'm on the court with my eye showing for 2.5
hours. No, but I'm just saying, if your eye like has a mind of his own, Joe, that's not, you know, he's probably self-conscious
about that. I think he's got his head down because he's upset.
No, because his eye was squirrely. What do they call that? Somebody out there knows what they call that when your eye just wants to.
It's like a lazy eye.
It tends to move.
I think having a mind of its own was a pretty good description.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you know, you want to look that way. Nah, I don't want to do that. I want to look to the right. Look at left. Nah, we want to look to the right.
He didn't only have his head down. He was using his hand to cover his eye.
He's like, his shoulders are slumped too. Hugh, but beyond, forget Embiid for a second. Do you agree with Barkley, like the leader of the team, body language after a game?
I think there was a lot, like initially when you see it, I get where he's coming from.
Sulking, kind of.
Yeah, but I think Joel Embiid stepped up pretty big last night. And for him to say that, that's the most definitive thing I've heard him say in the playoffs since I've been here.
The words were. The body language wasn't, but the words
because
were.
Because it was his eye.
All right. Well,
he should have just had a patch over his eye.
I wonder if that's the game 3 look. We go patch. We go pirate patch.
No, you definitely can't go a pirate patch.
Why not?
Because your depth perception is off.
Yeah, but if one eye's closing anyway.
Joe, stop it.
It reminds me in Rocky when he says, I'm seeing three of them. And then they say, hit the guy in the middle. Hit the one in the middle.
I don't know what that's called, man, but it's something's going on with his eye.
Well, it is. 215-592-9494. Let's get back to the phone lines here. Kevin is in Collegeville. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, what's going on, guys? How are you?
What's up, Kevin? What are you feeling?
So, first off, I was actually going to say just what you said about the eye, about him looking down and stuff. I think that's definitely what it is. But the second thing I wanted to talk about is I wanted to hear your thoughts about running Paul Reed and Embiid at the same time on the floor.
They can do it, Kevin. We probably need to see it more. And at the bare minimum, obviously spacing on offense you worry about a little bit there, but at the bare minimum, they should be able to rebound better. I mean, holy moly, the last possession for the Knicks, Tobias is just standing there as Hartenstein just jumps over him. Like, he's useless.
Exactly. And as good as Batum is on offense, he's not getting that rebound. Tobias isn't rebounding. It's pretty much just the Embiid and Maxey show on offense anyway. So what's the point of not – like, why not just throw out another big out there? Because we're getting killed on the offensive rebound.
They really are. They did a good job in the first quarter, and, Kevin, we appreciate it. It kind of moved the numbers for the game. Like, Joel had 8 rebounds in the first quarter. He had 2 the rest of the game, including 0 in the fourth quarter. So the rebound numbers last night looked better. But when they needed it – I mean, I'm seeing it – I'm watching it again right down in front of me. When they needed a rebound at the end of the game – They simply couldn't get it. I mean, that was the bottom line. They couldn't get the rebound. Drew in Westchester. Hey, Drew.
Hey, folks. I'll spare you the good morning pleasantries. Let me just start by saying I definitely place the blame squarely at the Sixers, not the refs. I thought Nick Nurse's first timeout call was so passive. I wasn't even aware at first based on it that the Sixers even had a timeout remaining. You know, I used to have a teacher in school who, like, he would call on you and maybe, like, you knew the answer and you said it, but, like, you didn't say it with, like, your chest out. You didn't say it with any confidence, and he would respond back. He would say, are you asking me or are you telling me? And that's kind of how I felt with his timeout. Like, you just think about, like, NFL coaches, like Campbell, like Pete Carroll, like Harbaugh, like, they're running onto the field making sure they get the timeout. I just think you got to make sure you get the time out there. And I just think he's to blame for that a lot more than the ref.
Yeah, and then we're not talking, Drew, here about a inexperienced coach. Like, this guy won, I think, like 7 championships when he was in England. He won the NBA championship
for like 6 years in the league. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he think about in his career, and not just the NBA, but everywhere, he's probably had thousands of situations, or at least hundreds, similar to last night, right? End of game, a couple seconds left, timeout, inbound. Like, he's had so much. Like, he knows the deal. You know what it was, Drew? It felt like he was half in, half out. Like, he wanted
exactly
a call, and then he's like, nah, maybe not. And then you're not going to get that call.
Yeah, I just feel like we heard, you know, I kept hearing, like, special coach. He's so much better than Doc. And he's definitely better than Doc to an extent. But just, you know, 2 games in a row, I feel like they've fumbled late game situations. The only other thought I wanted to give was I kind of thought the game was lost a little bit too in the third quarter. I don't think Maxey scored that whole quarter, and I just want him to be a dog for like 48 minutes, because I actually think he was the best player on the court. But I just felt like the third quarter, he wasn't taking as many shots. He got a little more passive. And I just hope he asserts himself more going forward, because, you know, if he does, they can make this a series. But, yeah, I just thought not getting much out of him that, like, whole third quarter, I thought really, you know, hurt them to open the second half.
Yeah, it did, Drew, man. It's a good phone call. He, and we know – Maxey so far in the series, when he's assertive, they can't stop him. I mean,
he's
been
so fast, man. He's a fast cat.
And I thought he came out. I mean, you kind of called it yesterday, Hugh, the flu game. He had his, what, first four threes? He was on fire to start the game. He was awesome for most of that game.
Yeah, I think everybody, like, when you get sick, I think that's the first thing that any athlete that's grown up in this era thinks about, Loden Jordan flu game. Even I don't care what sport it is. When you wake up in the morning and you're sick, like, you fight through that because you want to have your own Jordan moment. It might not be as great as the one Jordan had, but that's kind of what you want to have. You want to have your Jordan moment.
All right, can I throw my theory at you guys about the Nick Nurse timeout situation? Ready for this? I want you guys to tell me if this is insane or there's some maybe to this, okay?
What you got?
All right, and this has kind of bothered me for a long time, but, you know, like, it is what it is now. So I keep rewatching. It's on the screen in front of us here. I keep rewatching the whole sequence, right? And there is a moment where it looks like the referee looks at Nick Nurse, but I keep noticing that everyone in the crowd is standing, right? Like, behind Nick Nurse. There's got to be, you know, whatever, 500 people in that section, 1,000 mm-hmm. people in that section behind Nick Nurse. You know what my theory is? I have a theory that it's harder for the referees to pick him out because they don't wear suits anymore. I'm not kidding. Like, NBA coaches used to wear suits.
So you mean to tell me that's why he didn't get the timeout?
Well, no, I just think it's like if you're in a split second, you're looking over and you see someone in a pinstripe suit like Jay Wright used to wear, and, mm-hmm. and he stands out in front of a group of people. He's dressed just like the people in the crowd. I don't know. Like, in a split second, I look over. Do I pick up him as quickly as I normally would?
I see where you're going with this. But you have to know as a ref. Like, I would think that in this moment that you would think as a ref, somebody might call a timeout.
I know, and they should be looking at it.
They should be. You should be aware of where the coach is, even if he moves around. You should be aware of where the coach is.
I'm just saying they wore their suits, and the pandemic happened, and everyone dressed like they're going to the gym.
This is why people look at the NBA with the side eye, because of that. Like, you're supposed, like, as a ref, like, somebody called in earlier and talked about different scenarios that you know going down the stretch of a game. In that scenario, as a ref, I'm thinking, okay. Might be a foul here. Somebody might want to call a timeout. I got to be aware, spatial awareness of what's going on.
I agree.
Kyle, so the ref swallowed the whistle.
What do you think of the theory?
I love the theory. I'm not going to lie. It's like I wearing the all black like tracksuit, basically.
It's just like
bums. You could just be some Joe Schmo in the stands.
Right.
You could be some New York bozo. You could be Spike Lee. For all the
rest of the official news.
But Spike Lee, like,
he did stick out. Spike Lee sticks out.
Like, Spike at the games.
Maybe he should dress more like Spike Lee.
I need him to dress.
I think that's a cop out.
I need him to dress more like.
It's a little bit of a cop out.
I need
him
to look.
It's as much of a cop out as blaming the officials.
It's not. That is not blaming the officials in this situation. Is not a cop out.
Yeah, a little weak.
That is not
a little weak.
Oh, you know what? As many times I've been on this station and I done heard people cry about the refs. I get one, and last night I'm taking my one. This is the one that I'm going to cry about the
rest. You could have that. I'm not giving you. Just please don't file an actual grievance like the Sixers.
No, I mean, you got to. They've been snake bitten all year long.
What do you think?
What was it called? The L2M report or whatever they call it?
The two-minute report or whatever it is. Yeah,
last 2 minutes. That's what it is. So I didn't know that until you just said that. Last two-minute report.
If you were filing the grievance, if they said, Hugh, you got to write it up, would you write it up?
I would use colorful language.
I was going to say, would it be formal? Or be like, you bleeps keep screwing us.
I'd be like, you it'd be so what's that, profanity laden?
Yeah.
It would even be ridiculous. They'd be like, he's the coach for real?
I do wonder if there actually is like a form letter you have to follow, or you just write what you feel. Like, you guys got to be bleeping
kidding me.
This time, you screwed us.
Like who was it yesterday? What's his name? Was it Boone for the Yankees?
Aaron Boone,
when Aaron was cussing out there.
He was talking to him like he was
Henry or whatever the hell his name was. It wasn't me.
That was one of the wildest ejects I've ever seen.
Man.
I mean,
amazing.
I thought it was a joke.
So did he.
You know what? Yesterday, I thought it was a lot that happened in the news that I thought was a joke. I thought that was a joke. And I thought Zach Wilson going to the Denver Broncos was a hell. I thought somebody was telling a complete joke.
Well, Zach Wilson is the joke there. I mean, that's his career.
Hold on. They might have said the same about Drew Brees when he left the Chargers to go to Sean Payton.
Do you think Sean Payton can fix Zach Wilson, though?
Hey, he fixed Drew Brees?
No.
Again, I ask, do you think Sean Payton can fix Zach Wilson?
Hell no.
I think he'll be in Canada in a year is where I think he'll be. All right. Who is more to blame for last night's loss? Our Twitter question is sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. the Sixers or the refs. Currently 55% on the Sixers, 45% on the refs. Dreya's up in Philly. Hey, Dreya.
Hey, Joe. Hey, you.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm just going to get right to it. I mean, we can all agree that the refs miss, those calls, but I'm not going to put all the blame on the refs. I'm putting the blame on this so-called genius called Daryl Morey. Like, he is the one responsible for putting together this team that has no third star, no bench. There is nothing special about this bench. It's just the same old players after year that can't shoot, that has no fight, that has no intensity. I mean, we got rid of Pat Bev, who I believe his intensity and effort we definitely could have used. But no, he keeps Tobias Harris trash, Oubre playing like trash, Buddy Hield double trash. So at the end of the day, it comes down to the players who put up numbers, and ours didn't. This is the playoffs. So how the bench is playing is unacceptable.
Well, I agree, Dreya. And I'm looking right now just to kind of see it again. The Knicks had five players in double digits and almost had a six. McBride had 9 points. The Sixers had three players in double digits. And everyone other than Embiid and Maxey combined for 32 entire points the whole game. They're not getting anything from those guys.
Exactly. And we know if this was the Eagles, we would be blaming Howie right now. But I'm still going to be like you. I'm going to be positive. So I'm going to believe that we're going to win on Thursday. And because, you know, one thing about us, we are great at home. And once we win, we just got to take it one game at a time. And I got Sixers winning in seven.
I love it, Dre. I appreciate the phone call. That would be awesome. And this would be a footnote.
I'm going to say it's going to be six. It's still going to be six.
They're going to win four in a row against the Knicks?
Four in a row. Go back up there and spank them in the garden. That's a spanking.
I let you do it.
I ain't thinking about you, Kyle. I don't care. I do not care.
Hugh's going down with this ship.
I am going down. Let me wear my captain's hat. Don't make me pull my captain's
hat
out now.
Well, last time you did, Rojas got hot. So
no, I'm with, like, listen. I understand that it sounds crazy and a lot of people are mad. I get it. But last night, and I don't like to blame the refs, but that was ridiculous down the stretch. Hartenstein played well, though, by the way.
I just
wanted to throw that out there.
He's so annoying.
he definitely is.
Their whole Hustle team man. Is. Yeah. They're a bunch of tryhards. I mean, they're good. They're a good team, and they're well coached. And I have respect for the way they play. It's just
damn,
like they're getting beat by tryhards. I mean, that's it.
you can't stand them tryhards.
And to the point on Morey, Dreya is right. Daryl Morey is overrated. I mean, let's just call it for what it is. He's overrated. His team's never got to the finals ever in any part of his career. And his trades at the trade deadline the last couple years haven't just been like of no help. They have been a waste of everyone's time. I forget who the guy's name was last year. They traded McDaniels last year. Kyle, who was the guy they traded for a year ago? His last two deadlines, actually, and there was the George Hill year. Any deadline deal this guy makes is a disaster. Like, it's supposed to help, and it does. Last year was someone named McDaniels.
Jaden Daniels.
Jaden.
Yeah.
Yes.
The fact that none of these guys are popping right into your head tells you all you need to know. Just scrub.
McDaniels couldn't even play in the playoffs last year. And Buddy Hield. What happened to Buddy Hield? His whole career.
Jaden Daniels is the quarterback.
No, I know. I think it's McDaniels was last year. But Buddy Hield has averaged like 7.5 3-point attempts per game in his career. All of a sudden, the playoffs arrive, and the guy's afraid to shoot. He played 15 minutes last night and shot the ball 3 times, 0-2 from 3. Meanwhile, the McBride kid comes in for the Knicks. He's just shooting every 5 seconds. I don't understand. I don't understand why our McBride is Buddy Hield. Why can't he come in and provide some offense? It's unbelievable. OG's in Warrington. What's up, OG?
I'll tell you what, man. I'm going to bring some knowledge to this conversation. You can't blame Daryl Morey. Here's the deal. Every year, we say the same thing. Embiid has got to get his ass under the basket. He keeps saying to me, he's taking these 20 and 30 footers, and they look great when they go in. When they don't, we got nobody under the boards. Here's the thing. Buddy Hield, if Joel gets under the basket, Buddy Hield will get an open shot. When Embiid is out there, he's bringing all that out. from underneath the bench. Buddy Hield can't do a damn thing. And it's so simple. And we said the same thing with Doc. We're saying the same thing with Nurse. Don't blame the refs. If you're up 5 points with 47 seconds to go, you got to win the damn game. Now, I don't know how you feel, but Embiid has got to get his ass under the boards.
Well, I'll say this at the end, OG, and I know part of it is he's gassed and he's hurting and all that, but if you look at his numbers last night, 8 rebounds in the first quarter, 1 in the second, 1 in the third, 0 in the fourth. I mean, it's just he has no interest in rebounding after the first quarter.
We would have benefited tremendously if we could have got a little bit more of Joel Embiid towards the end of that game in the rebounds.
Yeah, they would have won. Man, I mean, that's it.
The man is 7'3". If you lob the ball high and he's under the basket, he's got plenty of moves down there. He can attack. He's a great foul shooter. I'm tired of seeing him 30 feet out from the basket. I'm pissed off.
I could feel it, OG. OG, appreciate it. That voice sounded familiar too, OG. I don't know if you've ever talked to OG in Warrington. His voice, though, I don't know. Did anyone else feel like we've heard that voice before?
It sounded like Dick Vitale a little bit.
No, you know what it sounded like to me?
Well, this is OG here.
Here's the thing. Buddy Hield, if Joel gets under the basket, Buddy Hield, we'll get an open shot.
That's our last caller, OG. That's what he sounds like. You have a voice that matches? Does that sound like someone?
Oh, he's talking about Doc. Oh, he sounds like
Was that Doc Rivers in disguise?
If Joel gets under the basket, Buddy Hield, we'll get an open shot. He's bringing all that out from underneath the bench.
It reminds me a little bit of I hear it. It reminds me a little bit of two or three years ago. There was a caller I had at night, Ethan in Doylestown, defending Howie, and he sounded just like Howie.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, OG called in to rip Embiid, right, if we're not getting him the basket, and then out of nowhere defended Doc Rivers. I mean, did anyone bring up Doc today? I don't know.
No.
I don't think so. Could that have been Doc in disguise?
Maybe.
I mean, that would be amazing. If
here's the thing. Buddy Hield, if Joel gets
could be
under
Doc
the
in disguise, guys.
That trying
could
be, to hide his voice.
That could be Doc trying to hide his voice. I mean, that's I wasn't ready for a scandal today on the show, but that feels like one.
Doc Rivers just called him to blast Embiid
and to defend himself just for everything, just for everything.
Doc Rivers would do that too.
Here is the deal, off of OG's point or Doc's point, whoever the heck that was. So I'm not saying last night was all on Embiid. But we all realize there's only one common denominator in all this nonsense for all these years.
Joel Embiid.
Yeah. Maxie's different. The point guard's different. The coach is different.
This team played with a lot more heart last night, too.
Again, but they're not the little engine that could. We thought they'd win the series.
I'm just saying. And they're still going to win the series. I still believe they're going to win the series. But it the feel of that game felt different than it has been since I've been here. Let me just say
but
that.
But the end is the same.
Yeah.
They screw up the end. They screw it up. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop. We'll get to everyone's phone calls, everyone's reaction today. Sixers or the refs, who do you put that more on last night? It's just a disaster of a loss for the Sixers. We will talk to Howard Eskin coming up. I'm sure he's got a lot of thoughts on what we saw last night. The end of the game. A nice Phillies win last night. We'll ask Howard about that as this team is rolling right now. And of course, we're 2 days from the NFL draft.
2 days.
We got to get Howard on record. We got to get Howard on record with a name. I need a name from Howard. Who's going to be the first pick of the Eagles?
Just don't write down two names,
Howard.
No,
I need a name
hedging.
From Howard. We'll do that coming up. 215-592-9494. Midday show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours.
and great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
That's right. We're riding with the King, Howard Eskin, with us here on the Midday Show. A ton of talk about after a debacle last night up at Madison Square Garden. Of course, 2 days away from the NFL draft. Howard, how are we doing today?
Oh, you know what? I'm so happy that I can join the pity party today and just join in and all the whining and crying and, oh, my gosh, what did they do to the Sixers? Douglas.
Come on, man. Come on, Howard.
I'm embarrassed for you. I am totally
embarrassed. The refs blew the game, man.
I know. It's a moral victory. It's a pity party. It's the refs. Wait a minute. Didn't the Sixers not get a rebound? Didn't the Knicks get 3 offensive rebounds at the end?
Yes.
Didn't the Sixers turn the ball over at the end?
Yes.
Didn't the Knicks score like 8 points in 30 seconds at the end? Didn't Kyle Lowry miss 1 of 2 foul shots at the end? Didn't Joel Embiid have only 3 points and 0 rebounds in the fourth quarter? Let me go back a little bit. Draft day or trade deadline day, Daryl Morey. We got the best draft day deadline trade in the NBA. Buddy Hield puts the fear of God into the other team as he comes down the court. Am I missing something here? Am I missing stuff? That caller you had a little while ago, the woman, what was her name, Bev, I think, or Dre?
Dre.
Okay. She was so on point. Pat Beverly, to get me to defend Pat Beverly means how bad things are. He would be at toughness. When they traded Morris for Buddy Hield, Daryl Morey has done, and Joe, you're right in this regard. It's rare that this happens. Daryl Morey has done nothing for this basketball team to make them better. And the star of the team is not Joel Embiid, I don't want to show my eyes. Oh, yeah, we're going to win, and we're better, and we're the – Hey, big guy. How about a stinking rebound in the fourth quarter? And he was 0-for-5 in the last game in the fourth quarter. How about that? Tyrese Maxey is without question the best basketball player on this 76ers team. And it's not even close, okay? Let's call it for what it is. So outside of that, yeah, let's blame the referee.
Yes.
Yeah, why?
They could have called some fouls down the end. Now, everything you're saying, it make a little bit of sense. But they still could have done some fouls down.
Didn't you get held in your career going?
I never complained, though. I never complained about
it. Today.
Because it's different. Today is different. I'm a little bit older and wiser now.
Don't make the play. That's what you got to do.
I'm a little older and wiser now. I get to complain. I'm a fan.
Oh, you know what? And to even play Stephen Screaming A. Smith nonsense, it's just he wants to sit on the first row because he wants to be noticed. Let's throw him out of the equation. And he's talking about fist bumping Joel Embiid as he's walking up. Like, you know what? Just shut up. And everybody that whines about the officials, I watch games. I love the Sixers-Celtics series from years ago. When they just would kill each other, but just play the game. And LaFraud James, to bring him into the conversation, you just blew a 20-point lead or whatever the hell it was, and you're whining about the officials, and then you're talking about the Sixers game. Shut up, leave the game, I'm done, and phew, he's not the best player in the NBA right now. So let's get past that, too.
It feels like a lot of hate.
Yeah, Nikola Jokic is the best player. Anyone denying this is not
watching. Feels like a lot of hate on this
call. And
Luka
right second. I would take Luka second. It's a joke. I mean, Hugh, it's not the referees. You can't. And Nick Nurse, give me a break. You tried to call a timeout. Well, Joe, you're right again when you said Kyle Lowry's got to make that decision. And after 3 seconds, you have 5 seconds inbound the ball. After 3, the official has to, technically, by the rules, I believe it's the rule, you have to ignore the asking for a timeout after a three-second count. So with all that said, Nick, and you know this nonsense, they're going to file a grievance. That's another houseman who works for ESPN that's now apologizing for this. We're going to file a grievance. And what's that going to do?
Nothing. It's going to do nothing.
You know what it'll do? The officials the next game. All right, we filed an agreement last night. Let's make it right. So they're trying to get the officials on their side. Bad calls all game. That thing went yesterday with Aaron Boone. They lost the game. So what are you going to blame Hunter Wendelstadt, the umpire at home plate, because a fan yelled at him and he throws the manager out of the game? I mean, it's just bad officiating all over. You can't use officials as a reason for losing. You only have yourself to blame, and the Sixers only have themselves.
Yeah, they blew it. Howard. All right, so let's look forward here. Embiid, after the game, said they're the better team and they're going to come back to win the series. Howard, what's your thought on the rest of this thing? So they come back now for two here in Philadelphia. I mean, the reality is they either have to win four in a row or have to win a game seven up there in New York to win this series now.
I think they win game three. And that's the way a lot of these series play out. I think they win game three. Game four is going to be interesting. Let's see how they play in game three. But Joel Embiid's got to be – he's not the leader. Which one of you nitwits said he was the leader on this team? He's not a leader. He's an excellent, talented player who's not a leader and not a winner, because if he was, he'd fight harder at the end of the games. And I don't want to hear his knee and all that nonsense. He's good enough to shoot. He's good enough to be on the floor. So then just play as hard as you can. But I think they win. I think the Sixers win game three. And regardless of the officials, that means nothing. It means nothing. You win the game by your play on the court. And the Knicks played harder than the Sixers. They were tougher than the Sixers. And that's what can't happen, because that's what playoff games come down to. This might be this group of players for years might be one of the worst playoff groups in the history of this franchise, because they shrivel up.
Well, they do. And Howard, it feels like any time there's a game like this, they lose it. Like, they'll win some in a series, but anytime it's really close, they collapse.
Yes, you got to win those games. If you're the better team, you've got to win those games. Did the Sixers play better? Well, it's a 48-minute game, and they didn't play better for the 48 minutes. Are they the better team? Right now, they're not the better team. But can they win the series? Sure, they can win the series. Obviously, they have to win game three, and I think they will win game three. But the Knicks are just tougher. You know, 1 through 5 in the starting lineup, they're just tougher. And toughness is what wins in the playoffs. The Knicks, they find way. Brunson is shooting. He's the only player in the history of the NBA to take that many shots and shoot under 30%, and they still won two games.
I know. He's 16 of 55, and they're up 2-0. It's crazy.
I mean, they haven't played their best game. So in reality, the Knicks haven't played their best game, and they still are up 2-0. And that's what I look at. They don't have the Sixers. I mean, Maxey is the best. That guy, you know, I don't care about flu game and all that other nonsense. He's just the best. He's coachable. He plays hard all the time. He's very talented. And he's better than the guy that's 7-2. He's just better because he's good in the regular season and he's good in the playoffs. And that's what you need. You need both. And I mean, I love Maxey. That's the guy.
Well, you know what I need, Howard, with that? Howard, if there's another game in this series that comes down to the last shot, I want Maxey shooting it. I was disappointed when he handed it to Joel last night.
I will agree with that.
Because I thought that he had the better chance to make a three there than Joel.
I agree. I don't want Joel taken. You know, and then, well, I didn't get lift because of my – I don't want to hear any of this. And then a couple of weeks ago he says, I shouldn't even be playing. Well, then don't play. Then go home. Get ready for the Olympics, because that's – I really think he'd rather win a gold medal than an NBA championship. I really believe that, because that's worldwide. It's just something – I don't know. I don't know what it is with this guy. As talented as he is, he should be better in the playoffs. He really should be. But it's crazy. I mean, it's crazy. They're just not a good – They're just not a good playoff team. Although I do, I have no question they're going to win on Thursday night. No question whatsoever. But they don't have any players after the first two.
No, they really
they have
don't.
Nobody.
No, it's
a Daryl Morey, that brilliant, you know, and I didn't want to do this, but I'm going to do this. I'm going to take a shot at my son when he yelled at me the other day. And he said, Daryl Morey's won more games over the last 10 years of any general manager in the NBA. Yet, he's not even gotten to the finals. He's not won a championship. And then he jumps in and he says, he's won 5 G League championships. I walked out of the studio. I was done. I was done.
Well, I mean, if we add him and Nick Nurse with his 7 European championships together, England titles, we got champions
do they
here.
Count?
I don't think they count. All right, Howard, let's look forward to something that everyone's wondering what's going to happen. Thursday night, Eagles have the 22nd pick. All right, Howard, give us your best guess right now. Trade up, stay there, offense, defense. What are you thinking with the Eagles with this first pick?
All right, I haven't looked closely enough at the teams ahead of them, but if they only have to trade up maybe 4 spots, 4, maybe 5 spots, I think they trade up for an offensive lineman who's a tackle, not a guard, who can play tackle, obviously, early in his career with the Eagles. A tackle on the offensive line. That would be the best chance, I think, is trading up to get a tackle. And then if they stay where they are, I think they'll get a corner. But one way or the other, they're going to take the best player. If they're where they are, they're going to take the best player available. You can't get trapped into taking need, because then you don't take the best player, and you're always going to need a player. But I think it's going to be an offensive lineman. There's a couple of guys that you look at, the guy from Alabama, the guy from Oklahoma, that corner from Alabama is a good player, too, Kool-Aid. So I think it's one of those two positions, and I think it's more likely because Howie Roseman's Howie Roseman, and every year he calls everybody, and he knows what he's going to have to trade before it even happens. And, you know, once you get to 15, then you kind of look, all right, are the Eagles going to make a trade? And I think there's a possibility. Once it gets to 15 and they still have players there they like, it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think it's more likely they trade up, and I think it's likely that they're going to take an offensive lineman who eventually will be a tackle on this football team. But either way, I think they're going to get a good player. Either way, they're going to get a good player. And I don't know that they can trade back. They don't need any more draft picks. They have picks that they can trade because they have too many draft. Well, I say too many. They have enough to be able to trade using those draft picks, because all those players won't make the football team. And that's what you got to look at. Use them to better yourself with the quality of the player that you're going to get ahead of 22.
Yeah, and O-line is where they're a little thin, yeah, and they could use some future help there. Well, Howard.
And Lane Johnson. I mean, is Lane Johnson, I'd like to see him, like all these guys, play forever. And I think, you know, he might have at least a couple of more years left, but you got to worry about injury, and you got to have a replacement there. And that's what the Eagles have done a good job. But somebody who the caller said, if the Sixers were the Eagles, they'd be killing Howie Roseman.
They would. I mean, you're right. He's right. That caller's right.
And you know what? I'll give you one better. They'd be killing if Glenn Rivers was the coach. They'd be killing him. They'd be killing him. It's just, hey, I'm not sure whether Nick Nurse is a good coach. I don't know yet, because it was kind of a screwy year with injuries and all those other things. But the Eagles, we know, have a good organization. Howie Roseman has done some really good things. And I think in the end, after the first round on Thursday night, you're going to have a player that's going to be a successful player for the Eagles in the future.
Well, that sounds good to me. Howard, we appreciate it. Enjoy the draft, and then hopefully we're still talking Sixers next week.
Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
Hugh, you know, I'm gonna pray for you. I'm going to pray hard for
Please
you.
Please do. Please do.
That you get some sense and you understand.
It's the refs' fault, man. I don't care what y'all say. I will die on this hill today. The refs jobbed us last night.
One last question. What kind of cheese do you like to go along with that wine?
I like a nice Gouda. Gouda,
okay, cheese. I'll get you some Gouda.
Howard will bring you some Gouda next time he's in here. All right, Howard, we'll talk soon. There he goes, Howard Eskin. All
Come
right,
down and
Wait,
beat that fat
listen,
ass.
I mean, I know it sounds a little hypocritical, but last night, if there was any time to complain about the reffing, It was last night. No question about it. That was some horrible reffing last night.
He did throw a good thing at you, though. When you get held, you got held. You got to go make a play.
But I never, that was kind of ingrained in me. I never complained about holding.
Well, you know what's ingrained in most of us? It's the Sixers' fault. They blew it.
I know. That's the easy route to take. And when I tell you, that, like, I have friends that are Sixers fans, and I tweeted what I tweeted. I said something about it. That's why they call it a series. The number of STFUs that I got
not the time, pal.
You know what I mean? The number, like, I'm talking about people that know me personally, tweeted me or texted me and hit me with the STFU. What are you talking about? We've been dealing with this forever.
You know, I have an analogy on this. You know what it's like? You're the person who, when something not great happens, like, you know, you
always see the positive side.
Well, you see the silver lining.
Yeah.
And, like, so maybe that helps people like a day later.
But not right now.
Yeah, you know, like I stubbed my toe, and you're like, you know, it actually might be a good thing. No, my toe hurts, man.
So basically, you're telling me the same thing they told me last night. Just,
not now.
It's not now. It's not.
I saw the tweet. I felt the same way.
No, I'm just saying. But you actually tweet back and you say how you feel.
Well, yeah, I do. I also scream about it when I get the chance to.
But
on here, like, I will tell you what, because here's how I knew that this means way too much to me. Like, where I almost had to tell myself, like, all right, relax. Just like, I noticed my ears were literally like red hot last night.
Like the steam was coming
out.
Yeah,
literally, I felt I like had to touch them, and I was like, "Oh man, like
I've worked.
I need to go to bed."
But see, y'all need people like me around because I help you come down a lot quicker, man. You don't need to have all that anger built up in you that.
You know what? Shut up. Yeah. No,
they're,
today's the day for anger. 215-592-9494. No, I'm disappointed. I'm not so much angry. I am annoyed the referees didn't call those calls you saw or give Nick Nurse the timeout. Sure, I'm annoyed. I wish they did. But I'm more frustrated with the Sixers because they had opportunities to finish that game.
Yeah, they did have opportunities.
Hit the free throw shot,
Kyle.
Refs
didn't do them no favor. They were up five. Yeah, and then the refs let them back in the game.
Now, wait a second. Brunson made a three without any aid from the refs.
It was a 1-point game. Nick Nurse called the timeout, man, when Maxey was on the ground, and they didn't see it. That's right there. That was egregious.
Did he have possession?
He did. Didn't he have possession?
I don't know. I mean, they didn't think he did, obviously.
He was on the ground.
Yeah, he's wrong. How about don't go to the ground? How about stand your ground?
You gotta stand. And I will say this, since we're being fair and balanced, since we're always fair and balanced
always,
on the show,
always
fair and balanced. Like, Maxey has to play through that because he was looking for the call. Like, before he fell, he was looking for a call. You got to play through that, man, because you got to think that they're not going to call
them. I have a theory on Maxey, you know, looking for the call. It's so I think there's actually some good things he learned from Harden and Embiid over the years. That's one thing that he learned. I wish he didn't learn from that.
Harden and
Embiid live to get fouls called on them.
Yeah.
And Maxey, like, at that point, just hold the basketball. If they call the foul, they do. If they don't, they don't. You can't. Like, what was he doing when he tried to get rid of it on the ground? I just.
There was
he thought he got the foul. He thought he was good for the foul.
I think the one moment, it was a Maxey moment. I think it was before we even took the 5-point lead.
Mm-hmm.
Where I, like, felt totally embarrassed.
When McBride stole
the ball. McBride ripped the ball right out of his hands, and he laid there on the floor, incapable of doing anything, while the Knicks ran down and scored, and the stadium's going nuts. I was like, this is, like, my nightmare.
There's a pattern here the last few years in the playoffs where teams do not fear the Sixers in the playoffs. They go at them. They take the ball from them. They go right at Embiid. Like, even was it DiVincenzo last night that, like, was kind of jawing with Embiid? Like, they don't fear these guys. They don't. Derek is in Paley. What's up, Derek?
What's going on, fellas?
What's up,
Derek? What are you feeling today?
Listen, I got that thing with the Nick Nurse thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nick Nurse, to me, he ain't no better than Doc Rivers. I'm going to tell you something. In a situational basketball like that, right, the referees, I'm not saying he wasn't, like, making a gesture to call a timeout, but if he's yelling, timeout, 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 he's going to get that call, right? But he's not yelling timeout, timeout. He's half in, half out. That was like some like middle school, high school handling of that last possession. The only call to make on that is a timeout call. So I don't think the refs blew that. I feel like the Sixers blew that. And they're just getting out tough by like people calling in like, oh, Villanova players are so got so much heart, da 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 da. Had nothing to do with it. Josh Hart got 15 rebounds, right? Like you said, Embiid got one in the fourth quarter, right? And as you would say, get some of them young Thundercats in there that's willing to, like, sacrifice their body and make a play. That's a lot of rebounds for a guy to score, right?
It's a ton, Derek. It's a ton. I mean, right? Like, and those second chance points, the Knicks aren't shooting it very well. Like, they need all those extra possessions to get enough points. If the Sixers rebound, they'll beat them.
Yeah, like Nick Nurse, he gotta try to like neutralize or do something different, because he's not making the Knicks do nothing. Like you said, Jalen Brunson is missing every shot, right? But then they're getting a rebound and somebody else is making it, right? Mm-hmm. So he gotta try to figure out a lineup. He gotta figure out something. But right now, like Howard said, if this was Doc Rivers, we'd be killing him. So I'm killing.
Well, Derek, I think it's fair. I think it's fair after last night. Yeah, no, Derek, I mean, we appreciate the phone call. And normally I don't like the two big lineups, like people were saying, put Paul Reed in. But if Joel Embiid can't jump to rebound.
Yeah, you need some rebounding.
You need something.
Yeah.
And Tobias Harris is soft as tissue paper. Like, he's not – I mean, that box out last night was embarrassing. It's – I can't believe – I know someone called earlier and said, you know, enough of the Tobias stuff. We know what he is by now. But, like – I don't think I'll ever get that out of my head, that Tobias Harris is in position to get the rebound, and he watched a player jump over him. Tobias, you've done nothing for 5 years here of any consequence. Grab a rebound in that spot. How is it that hard? You're 6'9". You have the guy boxed out. There were four Sixers there. It was Lowry, Embiid, Batum, and Tobias. How did they let Hartenstein walk in the middle and grab that rebound?
Yeah, he came out of nowhere. Like he jumped on stage and just took the mic. Yeah, it was tough.
Took the mic and then they took the game. Unfortunately, they really did there. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop it. All right, a lot to do here on the show here. We'll get all your reaction. We'll kind of reset with some of the audio. If you missed it last night, what Nurse said after the game, what Embiid said after the game, as the Sixers just go down in crushing fashion. It feels like a lot of people out there, including you, feel like the refs really were the biggest culprits. They took it from them. I feel like the Sixers were the issue. They gave that game away. I'm not trying to pretend the refs didn't have a hand. They did. But I thought the Sixers more gave that game away. A brutal loss. Are you more mad at the refs? The Sixers will discuss it all next. 215-592-9494. It is how you hop aboard. It is the Midday Show, as always, on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The future of pain medicine, the future of medicine, I should say, is here at QC Kinetics. QC is the nation's leader in the most exciting revolution in pain management we've seen in decades, regenerative medicine. If you're tired of achy joints like I am, if your joint pain is keeping you from doing what you love, you need to call QC Kinetics right now. Surgery, steroids, drugs, these are no longer your best options. Regenerative medicine is the way to go at QC Kinetics. It's transforming lives with innovative treatments that deliver lasting results. We're talking natural biologics here, people, using your body's own power to repair and restore damaged tissue. QC Kinetics is under the leadership of National Medical Director Dr. Mitchell Sheinkup. Dr. Sheinkup is a pioneer in this field with 20 years of clinical work, tons of research, teaching, publishing, et cetera, et cetera. He wants to get you relief with a needle and not a knife. Call QC Kinetics now to learn more about some exciting options. This is a revolutionary approach that can get you long-term relief with no downtime. Call QC Kinetics now for free consultation at 215-999-3000. 215-999-3000. One more time. 215-999-3000. QC Kinetics.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.